Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is God's word.
You might be thinking, wasn't it a lot of trouble to bring Ruth all the way up here to read barely two verses of Scripture? But I did it for a couple of reasons. First of all, she was scheduled to read. I didn't make any special provision. She was scheduled to read. But you know, today's Mother's Day, and I thought that Ruth is such a great example of a godly mom. So I thought, how appropriate to have her read. Of course, we have plenty of other godly moms in Grace Church, but Ruth is also a scripture reader. So there you have it. Fred had just recently died, and in his will it was provided that $30,000 be used for his very elaborate funeral. Fred wanted nothing but the best. As the remaining guests were leaving the church after the funeral and the reception, Patty, his widow, turned to her oldest and dearest friend, Joan, and said to her, "Well, I'm sure Fred is pleased." "I'm sure you're right," replied Joan, who lowered her voice and leaned close to Patty and said, "So, how much did it actually cost?" Patty said, "Every bit of it, the entire $30,000. "No way," said Joan. "I mean, it was nice and all, but $30,000? So Patty went on to explain, "Well, the funeral itself was $6,500, and I donated $500 to the church, and the refreshments at the reception cost $500. The remainder went for the memorial stone." Joan quickly calculated in her head, $22,500 for the memorial stone? "Good heavens, how big is it?" Patty said, 2.5 carats. Now, you should know that that story has very little to do with my sermon today, but seeing as it's Mother's Day and all, I thought you ladies might enjoy that. I don't know how you feel about Mother's Day. Not everybody feels the same way about it. Some see it as a Hallmark conspiracy to get us into their stores to buy their cards. And, of course, it worked on me yet another year. They have collected a lot of my money over the years. Others see Mother's Day as a commercial conspiracy, a way to get fathers into restaurants and flower shops and candy stores and lingerie stores for the more daring and the more self-assured of us, myself not included in that list. For some, Mother's Day is less than pleasant, a painful reminder to them that they are not moms, even though they would like to be moms. Maybe they haven't met the right man to marry yet, or they have been unable to conceive, or maybe their marriage ended before children came. It's a day that's not easy for them to get through, and some choose, in fact, to avoid the public so they can avoid the pain and the awkwardness of it all. Still, for others, Mother's Day is painful because their own mother was less than exemplary as a mother. You can usually resort to saying, "Well, Mom did the best that she could." But what do you say when everybody knows clearly that Mom did not do the best that she could? And for some, it's a painful day because their mother is no longer here. And despite the many, many wonderful memories, it's a sad day in some ways, and there's a void. And there's an emptiness because Mom is no longer here. But for the vast majority, Mother's Day is a great day. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of joy. It's a day of fun. A day for recognizing all that moms mean to us, all it means to be a mother, all it means to have a mother, and all it means, in some cases, to be married to a mother. But it seems to me that the most predominant reason for Mother's Day, the most important aspect of Mother's Day, the most or the greatest opportunity that's afforded by Mother's Day is simply this, and that is it's a day to honor your mother. It's a day, in fact, to honor all moms. But why honor moms? What makes moms honorable? Well, let's start at the beginning. The beginning being the fact that your mother carried you in her body for 40 weeks. 40 weeks. Now, if that was all that your mother did for you, it would be a major accomplishment. What have you men carried for 40 weeks? Not counting a grudge. Not counting a balance on your credit card. Mom provided everything that you needed for the first 9 months of your life. Oxygen, a blood supply, nutrients for growth, protection from cuts and bruises and scrapes. She provided the ideal environment for you, in which case the outside world would have been far too harsh for you to survive. But she hardly stopped there. Aside from the hospital staff, your mom was probably the first person to feed you, to change your diaper, to hold you, rock you, and speak to you. She bathed you, kept you warm or cool, protected you from innumerable hazards, and saw that you got your rest, your sleep, even as she forfeited her own. And for the first several years of your life, your mom was indispensable for your well-being. Practically everything you needed, your mom provided. Practically everything you learned, your mom taught you. Practically every minute of every hour of every day, your mom was available for whatever need you had. Yes, I know dads contributed too, but this is Mother's Day, so chill, dads. Not only have countless moms done this for countless centuries in countless places, but your mom did this for you personally. So let's take a few minutes and look at God's word on this Mother's Day, specifically Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. And you probably already know that there are principles and concepts that are common in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Augustine said a long time ago that the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And that there is New Testament truth in the Old Testament, but it's hidden, it's kind of veiled. And there is Old Testament truth contained in the new, where it is revealed and explained. The mystery is explained. But sometimes the Old Testament and the New Testament have virtually identical statements. And when this happens, you know you are on to a very important concept. And such is the case in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Now, way back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we read this: "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, as you know, this is the fifth of the Ten Commandments. It's actually the first commandment that deals with the people of God and how they are to relate to other people. The first four commandments address our relationship to God, and the last six commandments address our relationships with other people. But many Jewish scholars would not agree with that division of the Ten Commandments. They would say that the Ten Commandments are properly divided into two equal tablets of five and five. Not four commandments and six, but five commandments and five commandments. And the reason that they believe this is because they believe that the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother, is so foundational and so integral to a child's future relationship with God that they consider it to be more within the realm of a relationship to God, even than to people. They believe that if a child was not raised with a healthy respect and with a healthy obedience and honoring of their parents, then their relationship with God could be permanently marred. Now, this rings true because we know that a child's fundamental beliefs about God are formed as they watch and as they interact with their parents as they grow up. They understand justice as they observe their parents and how their parents handle certain kinds of issues as they arise in childhood. They come to understand forgiveness and grace as they interact with their parents, especially when they have done something wrong and their parents have to respond to what they've done wrong. They comprehend authority and obedience through the formative years with their parents. And they come to know love and caring concern as they observe their parents' example of these things. The ancients, in fact, believed that honoring one's father and mother was so fundamental to all of life and what life was all about that they believed that it either paved the way to later saving faith, or it would create an environment in which saving faith became very elusive or very difficult to find. It would be impossible to overstate the importance of the role of mother and father in the physical, social, mental, and spiritual development and lives of their children. It is huge. So we move 2,000 years into the future from Exodus 20 to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." A child, or whether you're 3 or 73 years old, the commandment to honor your father and your mother applies. You don't reach an age where I no longer have to do this. But the way this commandment is lived out changes with age. A child honors his or her father and mother in one primary way, and it's right here in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children honor their parents by obeying them. Children honor their parents by submitting to their God-ordained authority. End of discussion. There are no qualifiers given because qualifiers would simply miss the point. The principle is that in the Christian family, in a home where Christ is Lord and Savior, children are called to obey. Period. If they don't, then the God-sanctioned pattern is violated. A child who is disobedient or non-submissive in heart launches himself or herself on a trajectory that is frightful. It's frightening to even contemplate. This is because obedience and submission to authority is the most fundamental concept to grasp in all of life. It impacts everything in life. When a person does not understand the place of submission to a duly delegated authority, their life will become one problem after another, or it will eventually result in a disaster down the road. It's just a matter of time. God has so woven this principle into the very fabric of the universe, and it's found everywhere. It's found throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Notice, if you would, how significant the principle is. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That should tell us something right there. And look what the promise is, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Paul changes the word land to earth because the promise extended beyond the nation of Israel, who occupied the land of promise. Now, of course, this is not a quid pro quo promise, that everyone who honors their father and their mother is guaranteed to live a long life and die at a ripe old age. The Bible does not make those kinds of promises. You won't find them in the Bible. It's saying that the obedience of children to mother and father, and the honoring of mother and father at whatever age you happen to be, that pattern is so foundational to the family, to the church, to the nation, and to society, that living it out is a virtual certainty that life will go well for those who follow it. God has so designed life to reflect this basic concept of obedience and humble submission to authority that he will make it his business to bless those who honor it. Parents have just two basic responsibilities when it comes to raising children. If we could kind of condense it all down, there are really only two basic responsibilities. The first one is to teach them truth principles as revealed in the law of God and in the Bible. To teach them truth principles as they're revealed in the law of God and in the Bible. If you choose some other source of principles to teach, then you will find yourself constantly adjusting to the whims and the fluctuating values of society. You see, only the timeless truths are always timely. Those truths that are presented as timely and up to the minute and cutting edge, those are the ones that are actually less reliable because they're not timeless. And second, children must be held accountable for the truth principles that you teach. If they violate them, they should be punished. So they learn. You see, if they don't know what truth is, they will struggle their whole lives. So we must teach them truth. But if they know what truth is, they may know it very thoroughly, but there are no consequences when they violate it, then they will struggle their whole lives. They will never quite get it. If every parent in our church followed just these two principles, just these two, our families and our church would be transformed. This is not simplistic. It may sound simplistic, but it's not. And if we violate the fundamental principles as parents, we will end up having to devote our time and our energy and our resources to remedial efforts and remedial measures. And remedial measures are, of course, harder, aren't they? And they take longer, and they're more painful, and they often don't even work. It's like the old adage about closing the barn door. It's a lot easier to close the barn door than it is to round up all the livestock out in the fields. Children have one foundational, overarching, bedrock, non-negotiable calling throughout their childhood, and that is to humbly submit to their parents and obey them. It's the most important choice that they will ever make, and it's the most life-changing and directing choice that they will ever make. So children honor their mother by obeying her, by learning the godly principles that they're taught, and by obeying them and accepting the consequences when they disobey them. But what about us older children? How do we honor our parents? How do we honor our mom? Well, we certainly don't do it by obedience. Obedience is the role of a child, not of an adult. Adults honor their mother and father in many different ways, but let me just briefly mention a few. First of all, by showing them respect. Not because they're perfect, but because they're your parents. You're not a perfect parent either. You know that, right? You never have been. You never will be. In fact, those of you who are maybe younger and are thinking, boy, I'm going to do it right. When I become a parent, I'm going to be the perfect parent. Well, I have sad news for you. You're not going to be a perfect parent, and there's one major obstacle to your being a perfect parent. You know what that is? You're human. You have within you the sin nature, just like all the rest of us do. But we don't respect our parents because they're perfect or they did everything right. They didn't, nor do we. We respect them because they're our parents. And by regular communication with them, by letting them know what's happening in your life and finding out what's happening in their life. Now, this is not so easy when you're hundreds of miles away like I am, but you do what you can do. By spending time with them when you can. Again, it's tough when you're a long ways off, but you do what you can. And by deferring to them when you can do so. You know, we don't always have to have our own way. We don't always have to do things our preferred way. We can defer to our parents, and that's actually a way of honoring them. And by caring for them when the time comes to do so, however appropriately you can do that, you should do that. There are many things that contribute to a blessed life, many things, but we should never underestimate the contribution of this biblical principle and command. To honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, in a sense, we honor all moms because they're moms. That's just a reason to honor them all by itself, because they're moms. But we especially honor those today who took their calling seriously and who lived it out so well, including the two moms that impacted me the most, my own mom and the mom that I'm married to. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can have the opportunity to honor our moms, to honor what it means to be a mom and have one. We thank you especially for those moms who are with us today who have worked so diligently and so consistently for many, many years to do those two things that we talked about this morning. To teach them truth principles as revealed in the law and word of God. And to realize that those are principles that never grow old and never go out of date. And to realize that once those principles are taught, that children must be held accountable to obey them, and that there are consequences for not obeying. Lord, we realize as we study your word from beginning to end that this is so foundational to everything in life. So foundational that it's repeated in the New Testament 4,000 years later. Thank you for those moms who have made this commitment and who have lived it out. And by so doing, they have honored you and they have honored your word. May your blessing rest upon them, now and always. Through Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.